This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Mary Duke Biddle Trent Siemens was a popular patron of Duke University and the Durham community. She died last Wednesday at the age of 91. Her roots reached back to her great-grandfather, Washington Duke, gave the seed money to the college that would become Duke University. Over the years, she served the community as a member of the Durham City Council and then as mayor pro tem. She was a strident advocate for women's rights and a trustee of the Lincoln Community Hospital, which was created to serve black patients in 1901. Douglas Zinn is executive director of the Mary Duke Biddle Foundation, and he joins us now to tell us more about her legacy. Welcome, Douglas.
Good morning. How are you, Frank?
Well, I'm doing well, and I'm very sorry for your loss and the loss to this community. Why was Mary so beloved by Duke University? Give us a sense of some of her involvement in this community.
Well, her imprint, and this is not an exaggeration, either directly or indirectly, is on just about everything that both the campus community and the town community, both of which she loved so dearly. And, I think of E.B. White once said, "I rise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day." That was never Mary Siemens' dilemma. She improved the world, even if it was one person's situation at a time, or an organization or an institution. And the thing that, growing up around Duke University, of course, she came here at a very early age, in her mid-teens, and to live with her grandparents, Sarah P. Duke and Benjamin Newton Duke, and from the early days on, just fell in love with the place. And she really, from that day on, was the spirit of the institution. And I know of no one. I've been around Duke now almost 40 years, and she had that continuum, never lost the enthusiasm, the interest. And let me say this, Frank, one of the words that come to my mind when I think of Mary is genuine. People have interest in things, people, institutions, but hers was absolutely deeply genuine.
And that's probably the thing that people tracked and made her so successful. How influential was she in the development of Duke University?
Well, the thing about Mrs. Siemens is she was an enabler in many ways. And if there were challenges ahead, she was always interested in what can be done, not what can't be done. Mm-hmm. And when one goes to work with someone who always looks at the upbeat, especially in challenging times, really gets one through just about anything. And she lived through a lot of challenges on the university level, of course, being a trustee and a speaker ban and all sorts of things that were happening in each stage of her life. And she would have been 92 next month. So she saw a lot born in 1920, and all the different challenges that she went through. Of course, the end of World War I, she was born after that, and then all the successive challenges and how they affected institutions and individuals, and she was always there wanting to help in any way.
And, of course, she was a link to the founding generation of the city itself. Tell us about her ancestry.
Well, Washington Duke was her great-grandfather, and her grandfather was Benjamin Newton Duke, and whose brother, James Buchanan Duke, really gets a lot of the credit for a lot of things going on at Duke University. But B.N. Duke, her grandfather, was really the sort of the quiet Duke and encouraged his brother and the families to be involved, stay involved, build Duke University. And he was a quiet philanthropist and really a great role model. And when her mother came along, it's a really interesting family. It's a little complicated genealogy because a brother-sister Duke married a brother-sister Biddle. So that's why we have Duke Biddles and Biddle Dukes. And I still, to this day, being here over 30 years, I still have to go to the flow chart to make sure I'm in the right generation. Because those two, brother-sister Duke marrying brother-sister Biddle, became double first cousins, the offspring of those. So you have her Tony Duke, Anthony Duke, who lives in New York, who's just a year older than she, is still thriving and has done amazing things in New York with Boys and Girls Harbor. So she could have taken many different ways in her life. she could have enjoyed it, but she never, you know, even in the newspapers, how they, I know everybody loves to talk about the tobacco fortune and everything, but she really never thought of herself as a philanthropist. Her job was just making life better, and that's a tremendous modus operandi to have.
Well, she also had an impact on the creation of the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, right? Tell us
about that. Exactly, and that was one of the greatest blessings, because when Terry Sanford was determined to found this school, and interestingly enough, the joke was paving the way for the School of the Arts, because Terry was so adamant that this happened, because as it came up in the legislature as the toe-tapping school, toe-tapping and flute-tooting school, as you can imagine, in a sort of a rural legislature in that time. And Terry was adamant and knew, he was such a visionary and knew how important this would be for the state. And Terry appointed Dr. Siemens as the founding chair, of which he was chair for 16 years. And they were a pair, and they played off each other. Their personalities were different, but together they were such a dynamic couple that could just about make anything happen. And whenever I think the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, they, Jim and Mary, they ate it, they slept it, they drank it. They were so dedicated to it until the ends of both their lives. It was really quite inspiring. And they were the spirit of the School of the Arts. So here we have the spirits of two great institutions.
Right. And also a trustee of the Lincoln Community Hospital, at one time the Black Hospital in Durham. All of these concerns certainly take up a lot of time and energy. What was she most passionate about?
I think she was most passionate about people. She, whenever she was speaking to someone, they were the most important person to her. And people knew that. I used to go into the grocery store with them, and we'd be at the produce section, and she'd be talking to the produce person, and she could be there for 15 minutes. And then, you know, it was a clerk, and then it could have been a professor at Duke. So just to go into the grocery store and get a head of lettuce may have taken an hour. Because everybody wanted to speak to her.
She had that kind of...
She wanted to speak to them, and she was never rushed anybody, even though many times she probably should have. She never did.
With all that force of personality, she was also a dedicated to rights issues, human rights issues. What did she do in that?
Well, one thing I think is really important with her husband, Dr. Siemens, early on, they became associated with Mary Switzer, and Dr. Siemens had done a bunch of work with rehabilitative medicine during World War II at McGuire General Hospital in Richmond, and they became very interested in rehabilitative medicine. And with her mother, established the first gallery for the blind, which was at the North Carolina Museum of Art when it was at the downtown location. Then when it came out onto the Blue Ridge Road, it changed its focus and things, but it was the first gallery for the blind. But they were always in there for rights for any population, be it special needs. And the great thing, too, Mary was very involved from the very beginning in the African-American community. She was dedicated to the Spaldings and close friends all their lives. And it was such an inspiration because those were difficult times. And to have someone of Mrs. Siemens' stature in the mix all the time was an inspiration.
Of course,
I think really brought down the walls. And Durham, though, I have to say, has been a community that's really been a diverse community and has embraced diversity, even with its challenges.
Talk about the Spaldings. That's one of the founding families of North Carolina Mutual,
right.
Vital to the development of African-American communities in the city of Durham. What about her role as on the city council, also mayor pro tem? Yeah.
It's so interesting, and I know everybody can, we can only explain it. We can't excuse it, but those were the times. People were adamant that she not fill those roles because those were not for women, she was told. But, you know, she was such a gentle person in the way she pursued things. Some people would become very defensive, but she found a way to work it. Duke University, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, wrote she was the fighting philanthropist. And but it, the thing that misses in that title is she was the gentle fighter. I tell people that put up your dukes actually is the origination is from her, because her father and grandfather were involved in the martial arts and interested in boxing, and people like Gene Tunney would hang out at their house, and her grandfather Biddle taught her boxing. Actually, put up your dukes does not come from her, but in fact, I don't know where it comes from. But she was always in there fighting. But let me say this, even though she did it gently, when it came time to stand up, she was right in it.
Tell us about the Mary Duke Biddle Foundation. What do you do?
The Mary Duke Biddle Foundation was set up in 1956 by Mrs. Biddle. Where Mrs. Biddle was an amateur opera singer and may have been able to go professional, but her teacher ruined her voice. But she had a lifelong passion for the visual and performing arts, and Mary Siemens grew up in that, went to lots of opera, lots of performing arts, lots of museums around the world, and left such an impression, so she carried on her mother's legacy. Although we're not solely an arts funder, we do fund a lot in the arts. Half of our income, by virtue of its charter mandate, goes to Duke University, and then the other half is divided between New York City and North Carolina.
Douglas, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
Douglas Zinn is Executive Director of the Mary Duke Biddle Foundation. For more information about the foundation, you can go to marydukebiddlefoundation.org. Just ahead, get inside the mind of theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.